Hello everyone. So I decided that this is going to be my last episode talking about mainstream pornography, but I decided to fully humanize the mainstream porn performers. And I'll be using the dictionary starting right now, but I'll be using it for a little bit because I really want to get the rest of my thoughts out off the top of my head. So here we go. I thought about how in the mainstream porn world, this happens quite frequently. Imagine that you're told, when it comes to the on-camera adult paid sex, that you have to be a sexual athlete all the time, a sexual acrobat all the time, a sexual gymnast all the time, a sexual player all the time, a sexual contestant all the time, a sexual champion all the time, a sexual sports person all the time, a sexual amateur all the time, a sexual professional all the time, a sexual semi-professional all the time, a sexual contender all the time, a sexual challenger all the time, a sexual letter person all the time, a sexual muscle person all the time, a sexual jock all the time. And then imagine being told that you have to have the baseball player mentality towards sex, the football player mentality towards sex, the basketball player mentality towards sex, the soccer player mentality towards sex, the rugby player mentality towards sex, the boxer mentality towards sex, the kickboxer mentality towards sex, the martial arts mentality towards sex, the wrestler mentality towards sex, the swimmer mentality towards sex, the golfer mentality towards sex, the tennis player mentality towards sex, the volleyball player mentality towards sex, the jockey mentality towards sex, the track person mentality towards sex, the javelin thrower mentality towards sex, the high jumper mentality towards sex, the disgust thrower mentality towards sex, the shot putter mentality towards sex, the biathlete mentality towards sex, the decathlete mentality towards sex, the triathlete mentality towards sex, the skier mentality towards sex, the ski jumper mentality towards sex, the slalom racer mentality towards sex, the runner mentality towards sex, the marathon runner mentality towards sex, the relay runner mentality towards sex, the long jumper mentality towards sex, the pole vaulter mentality towards sex, the hurdler mentality towards sex, the equestrian mentality towards sex, the polo player mentality towards sex, the hockey player mentality towards sex, the skater mentality towards sex, the bicyclist mentality towards sex, the cyclist mentality towards sex, the fencer mentality towards sex, the swords person mentality towards sex, the cricket player mentality towards sex, and the miler mentality toward sex. Imagine you're told you have to do 24/7 sexual athletics, 24/7 sexual gymnastics, 24/7 sexual sports, 24/7 sexual games, and 24/7 sexual sport. And then you have to imagine being told And then imagine being told you have to be athletic around the clock, muscular round the clock, husky round the clock, wiry round the clock, springy round the clock, slim round the clock, fast round the clock, solid round the clock, strapping round the clock, hardy round the clock, robust round the clock, strong round the clock, vigorous round the clock, powerful round the clock, brawny round the clock, sinewy round the clock, sturdy round the clock, well proportioned round the clock, well built round the clock, manly round the clock, Herculean round the clock, Amazonian round the clock, built like an ox round the clock, not sick round the clock, not weak round the clock, and not fat round the clock. Here are the other pressures. You're told to be curvaceous round the clock, shapely round the clock, voluptuous round the clock, plus-sized round the clock, full-figured round the clock, rounded round the clock. Comely round the clock, thick round the clock, well endowed round the clock, well upholstered round the clock, stacked round the clock, sensuous round the clock, sultry round the clock, alluring round the clock, sexy round the clock, seductive round the clock, opulent looking round the clock, sexually attractive round the clock, full bosomed round the clock, big butted round the clock, child bearing wide hips round the clock. Not skinny round the clock, not boyish looking round the clock. Round the clock means each and every second of each and every day and night. Imagine you're taught to treat sex like handball. Treat sex like the Olympics, summer and winter. Treat sex like shooting. Treat sex like hunting. Treat sex like athletic or competitive amusement. Treat sex like automobile racing. Treat sex like fishing. Treat sex like squash. Treat sex like lacrosse. Treat sex like ice hockey. Treat sex like skating. Treat sex like field hockey. Treat sex like swimming. Treat sex like diving. Treat sex like windsurfing. Treat sex like billiards. Treat sex like polo. Treat sex like mountain climbing. And you have to treat sex like bow and arrow and darts being thrown. Imagine that you have to treat sex as if you're running for office. And imagine that you have to treat sex as if you're always campaigning, a political campaign. So, and then imagine that you have to balance the sexual criteria of the film crews, your co-stars, the adult film entity that you're contractually obligated to do, and yourself. Oftentimes you can see that the non-sexual mental health conditions stimulate traumatically sexual mental health conditions, where your listening may not always be wonderful. Your processing of information may not always be wonderful, which means that active listening to your co-star in the midst of sex is not going to be achievable each and every second, which also means that you're going to have sexual information overload, erotic information overload, sensual information overload, which also means is that you're going to have sexual sensory overload, erotic sensory overload, and sensual sensory overload. Which, and then it transfers into sexual information underload, erotic information underload, sensual information underload, which transfers to sexual sensory underload, erotic sensory underload, and sensual sensory underload. So you're going to constantly battle sexual overstimulation, sexual understimulation, erotic overstimulation, erotic understimulation, and sensual overstimulation and sensual understimulation. Because I think a lot of times with some of the porn performers, some of them have been taught that they have to rely on joking to hide their erotic dissatisfactions. That they have to rely on laughter to shield their sensual discomfort, and they have to rely on feigning enjoyment to disguise the bad sex. Feigning means faking. So, faking orgasms is common in that world. And imagine that you're not encouraged to speak your sexual concerns. For example, many times in that world, there are people, performers, who complain about each other's lack of oral prowess, each other's lack of anal prowess, each other's lack of vaginal prowess, each other's lack of penetration thrusting prowess, and each other's lack of sex position prowess, each other's lack of sex acts prowess. And when they complain to each other, it becomes gender warfare. So there are performers who have body shamed each other, sex shamed each other, slut shamed each other, kink shamed each other, prude shamed each other, and consent shamed each other. Imagine that in the world of porn, you may not be selected to be in adult films because the adult film entity may see you as physically ugly, physically unattractive, physically ill-favored, physically hideous, physically unlovely, physically unprepossessing, physically unsightly, physically displeasing, physically disagreeable, physically horrible, physically frightful, physically awful, physically ghastly, physically gruesome, physically grisly, physically unpleasant, physically foul, physically nasty, physically grim, physically vile, physically shocking, physically disgusting, physically revolting, physically repellent, physically repugnant, physically grotesque, physically monstrous, physically reptilian, physically misshapen, physically deformed, physically disfigured, physically home, physically not much to look at, physically short on looks, physically fugly, physically no oil painting, physically huckery. They look at you and see you as ugly as sin. They look at you and see you as homely, plain featured, and plain looking. By the way, there's nothing, by the way, there's nothing wrong with being plain featured. There's nothing wrong with being plain. There's nothing wrong with being plain looking. There's nothing wrong with being as plain as Pikestaff. There's nothing wrong with being homely. I'm just saying, the porn world goes by the attractive standards and beautiful checklists that society has. And so there's been a lot of men, women, non-binary adults who are traumatized physically and traumatized internally because they may have had a dream of being an adult film performer, and they were made to feel like they're worthy of being unacceptable rejects. Imagine you're in that world and you might not get a call back to do adult films if both your penis and your testicles are small, little, small scale, compact, bijou, portable, tiny, miniature, mini, minute, microscopic, microcell, nanoscopic, minuscule, puny, little bitty, tiddly, small boned, short, slight, itsy bitsy, itty bitty, teensy weensy. I'm not making fun, I'm just using synonyms for words. I love the dictionary, thesaurus, encyclopedia, as you know, but that's how they think. And imagine you don't get a call back because your breasts, your female buttocks, adult female buttocks, your female genitalia, and your female hips are not big, not large, not heavily built, not ample, diminutive, undersized, stubby, and boxy. This is how many people in the porn world see other people. I'm just being honest. Imagine that you might not get a call back because you're not tall enough, or you're too tall, or you're too short, or maybe not short enough. That's how that world works. Not every porn company, but these are things that do happen in this kind of world. Imagine you don't get a call back because you lack the maintenance of a penile erection, clitoral erection, nipple erection. Imagine you can't get a call back because you don't last long sexually speaking. Imagine you don't get a call back because you ejaculate way too soon and not enough for their orgasmic standards. Imagine you don't get a call back because they may have a problem with your voice. They may have a problem with your birth defects. They may have a problem with your birth deformities. They may have a problem with your genetic predispositions. They may have a problem with you're not extroverted enough, or you're too extroverted, or you're not introverted enough, you're too introverted, right? And then you might not get a call back if you can't keep a penis in you for very long, or you can't keep a penis in a woman for very long. You don't get callbacks. A lot of times in that world, I've seen this. They will compare women they call naturally beautiful to, oh, you must really meet our women beauty standards if you didn't have any flavor enhancers or chemical elements to all of your bodily assets. And they sometimes compare women. Man, them country women don't have silicone. They don't have monosodium glutamate. Yeah, she got that country look, that homegrown look, that farm grown look, and you know, she got that best chest, best glutes, best genital, best hips look because she from the deep south. And they may say things like, look at all the condiments, savory snacks, stews, gravy, ramen, soups, cube stock bouillon that she be that she be eating, no wonder she's well endowed in the chest and the butt and the hips and the genitalia. I've actually seen this type of stuff. I don't watch anymore. I've heard, you know, one person say, you know, that her butt was plowed. This is how they talk in that word. I'm just giving you the non-profane version of how they really talk. They might say the fact that she takes a lot of meaty, savory flavors of food with the meat soups, and you know, that's why she stays curvaceous. You know how they really talk. I'm just giving you the dictionary way of telling a hard truth. And I think what is weird about that world is that sometimes they'll say, man, you know, she got that Atlanta behind. She got that Raleigh, North Carolina behind. You know how they really talk. And she got that, and you know, Cali women got the best glutes. That's not how they really talk. And I just can't bring myself to say it. That's why I just can't say it. It's too nauseating for me to talk how they really talk. And it's just like also really sick how they go, man, that sodium salt glutamic acid in tomatoes and cheese and all that soul food. No wonder she is just sexually relentless. No wonder she's shapely. That's not how they really talk, but they... compare women to food items. They look at women as food. They see women as edible. And it gets worse. They'll use pseudo intellectualism. They'll compare women's bodies to chemical elements and chemical substances, and they misuse science. And they misuse nutrition just to distort the inner beauty of a woman and the outer beauty of a woman. And then I've noticed that they'll say things like, scarecrows were invented to scare dudes from women who look that shapely. And a lot of times they'll brag about the women's weight, hip to waist ratio, even though they don't know how to measure a woman and shouldn't be measuring women to begin with. And they'll say, man, she can't see me, can't see me, can't see me. Because they'll hide behind a woman and go, oh my God, like, I'm blind, I'm deaf because I'm hearing the sound of her behind and her breasts and her vaginal region. That's not how they talk, but you know what I mean. And they'll say, wow, the woman's curves are so ginormous, I'm lost. I'm in the lost and found section. I can't be located. Or they go, wow, like, wait a minute, I reach my hand over and her butt's so big, I reach my hand over and there's still more butt, or still more breast, still more vagina, still more hips. And they'll basically say that, look at that, you know, look at the hang time. She got creases under her butt that can't be ironed out, man. And that's how they talk. And it gets so weird that when they talk about women sometimes, they basically talk about how they feel they're proud of, yeah, her curves suffocate me for real. They make me feel claustrophobic and I like it. They talk similar to that. That's basically what they're saying. And I've always found it to be weird. They talk about representing the East Coast, the West Coast. I'm like, no, you're representing yourself. Should I say misrepresenting yourself? You're misrepresenting men. You're misrepresenting women. You're misrepresenting non-binary adults. And I've always found that to be odd when it's like they look at women's bodies and body parts and their lack of scientific wisdom. They'll say, man, the women's bodily assets are, you know, it's because of all those chemical compounds and chemical mixtures, nuclear reactions that they're consuming. Look at these women's elements, atomic numbers. And look, the chemical reactions, how it makes me feel. Ooh, the nuclei, the protons, the atoms. Woo! That's how they talk about women sometimes. I'm just giving you the dictionary, educated way of saying what they crassly state. And it's just really odd. Like, I've seen this, how sometimes, now I'm just talking off the top of my head, how many times when it comes to the sex, and that I can tell you, is that they'll tell the man co-star, they meaning the camera person or director, they'll call the woman misogynistic slurs if she's not there. This such and such, that such and such. We know what they're really saying. And they'll say, what are your sucking abilities? They'll talk about referring to the man's penis and testicles. You know how they really talk. What are your lip skills? And they'll say things like, God gave big women the ability to do oral on a man well, but that's not how they really talk, but you know what they're really saying. And sometimes it's weird how in that world they think that a sexual order is the same as being a sexual, being sexually diabolical. They'll tell the woman to put her breast down and keep her butt up, but you know how they really say it. And they say, I don't want to see your pretty face, I just want nothing but your behind and your chest. How they really talk, and I just can't say it the way they say it. It's too disgusting, it's too filthy for me. I can't ever bring myself to talk how they really talk. I'm just not going to try. And I've also noticed that they will ask a woman how many inches or centimeters. They'll actually do ruler measurements on a woman. Sometimes they ask off the ruler, sometimes they ask her with the ruler, sometimes they use the rulers on women. They feel like if they can not be seen because your curves are so humongous, then they feel like you're the epitome of a gorgeous woman and gorgeous womanhood, physically speaking. And from what I remember about that world is you know, a lot of times with the sex, this is what I wish mainstream porn would do. A lot of times the guys will constantly tell the woman to sex me, but that's not how they say it. But tell the woman, tell me how you feel. Not because they really want to make the proper sexual corrections if they're committing sexual mishaps. It's all about feeding their their sexual self-importance, their erotic self-conceit, their sensual self-pride. And because a lot of what they tell the woman to do is based upon the fact that they're hiding their sexual disgrace because they feel sexually discredited. That's why they sexually disgrace women and sexually discredit women. And I notice in that kind of world too, a lot of times with the men, and I can say this as a man, I have really learned that within the world of mainstream porn, women are the most victimized by sexual grandiose narcissism, sexual overt narcissism, sexual covert narcissism, sexual hypervigilant narcissism, sexual exhibitionist narcissism, sexual vindictive narcissism, sexual malignant narcissism, sexual antagonistic narcissism, sexual somatic narcissism, sexual cerebral narcissism, sexual spiritual narcissism, sexual communal narcissism. What do I mean with what I say? Let me tell you the truth. This is how a lot of, don't get me wrong, there's some people from all the gender and sexual diversity spectrum who do all these things, but in mainstream porn, men are the most guilty of it. Okay, here are the different types of sexual narcissists and what to know about them. Let's go. Sexual overt narcissists are the sexual prototypical variety of sexual narcissists. They display sexual grandiosity, exaggerate their sexual accomplishments, and sexually engage in sexual activities designed to sexually impress others. Their overly sexually inflated egos lead them to genuinely sexually believe that they are more sexually special and more sexually deserving than others. Further, they are sexually incapable of acknowledging any sexual faults or sexual shortcomings in themselves, so they may be quick to sexually point them out in others. In other words, they're quick to point out the sexual faults and sexual shortcomings in others, but pretend as if they have no sexual faults and no sexual shortcomings when it comes to themselves. Sexual overt narcissism is typically sexually accompanied by a sexually introverted personality used to gain sexual attention and build the sexual audience for their sexual boasting. Sexual overt narcissists use their sexual charm and sexual charisma to sexually convince others of their quote-unquote sexual greatness, so-called sexual greatness in quotations. However, their sexual inability to feel sexual empathy results in sexually superficial relationships that lack sexually genuine sexual warmth or sexual longevity. So, in a lot of mainstream porn, there's a lot of sexual overt narcissism. Sexual covert narcissism, let's talk about it. Sexual covert narcissists are also known as sexually vulnerable narcissists, tend to appear sexually shy, sexually reserved, sexually self-deprecating, and sexually worried, despite sexually experiencing immense sexual emotional fragility, chronic sexual envy, and sexual difficulty with sexual criticism. Sexual covert narcissists tend to constantly sexually compare and sexually judge themselves against another person's sexual happiness, sexual possessions, and sexual relationships. Because of this, they often spend time sexually alone and may experience higher levels of sexual suicidality than others with SNPD, sexual narcissistic personality disorder. You know what? I'm going to use the dictionary the rest of this episode. I just go with the flow. I say what I feel in a moment, let me get going. So sexual covert narcissism is in a lot of mainstream porn. Next, sexual hypervigilant narcissism. Sexual hypervigilance reflects the sexual need to be sexually constantly on the sexual lookout for sexual threats. Coupling the sexual trait with sexual narcissism results in a sexual individual who is always on the sexual watch for sexual signs of sexual criticism or sexual put-downs from others. Sexual hypervigilant narcissists fear sexual rejection to an extreme sexual degree and see sexual slights and sexual insults in others as sexually innocuous behavior. Sexual hypervigilant narcissists cannot sexually relax around others. They are sexually listening for sexual hints of possible sexual disrespect or sexual belittling. For these types of sexual narcissists, sexual socializing is exceedingly sexually painful. While they sexually feel that they sexually deserve sexual attention and sexual praise from others, they are sexually unable to handle the sexual risk of sexual rejection or sexual abandonment that sexual social settings present. So sexual hypervigilant narcissism is in a lot of mainstream porn. Next. Sexual grandiose narcissism. Sexual grandiose narcissists display sexual patterns of sexual superiority, sexual pretentiousness, and a lack of sexual consideration for others' sexual time. While these sexual characteristics are common among many people with SNPD, they tend to be further sexually exaggerated among sexual grandiose narcissists. These types of sexual narcissists may be more sexually assertive, more sexually extroverted, and more sexually exploitative than those with standard SNPD. One more time, sexual narcissistic personality disorder. Because sexual grandiose narcissists sexually believe so sexually strongly in their sexual abilities and sexual intelligence, they sexually tend to sexually display a strong sexual distrust of sexual experts, and their sexual superiors. Instead, they sexually gravitate toward those who sexually provide them with a sexual abundance of sexual admiration. They may sexually use this to sexually feed into sexually false beliefs or sexually exaggerated beliefs about their sexual importance, sexual purpose, sexual abilities, or sexual identity in terms of how they are when it comes to sexual intercourse, also known as sexual delusions of grandeur. It gets worse. Then, yes, there is a lot of sexual grandiose narcissism in a lot of mainstream porn. Here we go. Sexual exhibitionist narcissism. Sexual exhibitionist narcissism refers to sexual narcissists who have to be the center of sexual attention or be seen as the sexual life of the party. They crave the sexual admiration of others and will go to great sexual lengths to be sexually noticed. They also want to be sexually caught in the sexual company of sexually active people, as sexually fabulous as they sexually believe themselves to be. Often, sexual exhibitionist narcissists will tell others how to sexually smile, what to sexually wear, and what to sexually say, what to sexually do, what not to sexually say, and what not to sexually do. They want to sexually control the sexual storyline and every sexual character in the story. Additionally, they fully sexually believe that others sexually view them as sexually special and sexually deserving as they sexually see themselves. They are the ultimate sex party crashers, sex photo bombers, and unrepentant sexual attention grabbers. So there's a lot of sexual exhibitionist narcissism in a lot of mainstream porn. And then I noticed this. There's sexual vindictive narcissism. Sexual vindictive narcissists are sexually hypersensitive to sexual disagreement, sexual boundaries being set, sexual rejection, and perceived sexual criticism. They take these sexual experiences personally and are immensely sexually hurt by them, although won't sexually admit to this. In turn, they may sexually respond with sexual attacks and sexual terrorization toward the sexual person they sexually perceive as being sexually unreasonable. Sexually vindictive, narcissistic behavior may include sexually sabotaging someone's triple X career or sexual reputation, responding with sexually narcissistic rage, sexual blackmailing, or sexually talking behind someone's back. Sexual vindictive narcissists tend to be sexually unmoving in their sexual opinion of the sexual individual who sexually hurt them, even if they have received a sexual apology or attempts to make sexual amends have been sexually made, or found out that what sexually upset them never sexually happened in the first sexual place. So, yes, sexual vindictive narcissism happens in a lot of mainstream porn. Next, sexual malignant narcissism. Sexual malignant narcissism is a colloquial sexual term used to describe those exhibiting sexual symptoms of both SNPD and sexual antisocial personality disorder. Combined, these sexual disorders show up as sexual arrogance, a need for sexual power, and a need for sexual recognition, a lack of sexual empathy, a sexual tendency to sexually use or sexually exploit others, and experiencing sexual pleasure in the sexual mistreatment of others. Sexual malignant narcissists tend to report more sexual impairments, difficulty with sexual relationships, and worse sexual responses to sexual treatment than those with typical SNPD. So there's a lot of sexual malignant narcissism in a lot of mainstream porn. Here we go. Sexual antagonistic narcissism. Sexual individuals who merge an antagonistic sexual personality with sexually narcissistic traits present an extremely sexually unattractive persona to others. They lack the sexual charm of other sexually narcissistic types and instead sexually display the more sexually unappealing traits of sexual entitlement, sexual arrogance, lack of sexual empathy, and sexual disregard for others' sexual well-being. Their antagonistic sexual personalities lead them to be highly sexually defensive, assume the sexual worst in others' sexual comments, and respond with sexual anger to any sexually real or sexually imagined slights. So there's a lot of sexual antagonistic narcissism in a lot of mainstream porn. Next, sexual somatic narcissism. Sexual somatic narcissists derive a sense of sexual superiority, sexual entitlement, sexual self-worth from their sexual perceptions of their sexual instruments called their physical bodies. They use their sexual instrumental figures and the physical and sexual space around them to sexually express their sexually narcissistic traits. While sexual somatic narcissists present with sexual confidence in their sexual beauty, sexual strength, and sexual fitness, they tend to sexually obsess over their sexual appearance and sexually criticize the sexual appearance of others, demonstrating, sexually speaking, underlying sexual insecurity and low sexual self-esteem. Other times, total sexual self-hatred. Sexual somatic narcissists may also sexually achieve personal sexual value and sexual superiority from intercourse. However, intercourse is not sexually necessary, as it is with the other types of sexually conceited bastards. For the sexual somatic narcissist to build sexual self-worth, so there's a lot of sexual somatic narcissism in a lot of mainstream porn. Sexual cerebral narcissism. Sexual cerebral narcissists, also known as sexual intellectual narcissists, are sexual individuals who sexually fulfill their sexually narcissistic supply by being sexually perceived as sexually intelligent, sexually well-read, and sexual expert. These sexually egocentric monsters tend to be sexually egomaniacal, use their sexual intelligence against others, boast about their sexual knowledge, excessively sexually correct others, and downplay others' sexual intellectual abilities. While sexual intellectual narcissists are generally sexually smart, in quotations, so-called, they frequently sexually present as if they are more sexually educated than they really sexually are. This is sexually done to mask underlying sexual insecurities and lack of sexual insight. So sexual cerebral narcissism is very common in a lot of mainstream porn. Next, sexual spiritual narcissism. Sexual spiritual narcissists derive sexual self-worth from their sexual faith and sexual ability to sexually control, sexually manipulate, and sexually influence others. This kind of sexual haughty spirit uses their sexual spirituality, in quotation so-called, to sexually hurt others by sexually shaming, sexually fear-mongering, or sexual narcissistic gaslighting. They will bring sexual spirituality, sexual faith into all sexual conversations, sexually judge others for their sexual spiritual approach or sexually lack thereof, and use quote-unquote scriptures talking about sex to sexually prove themselves sexually right, ignoring sexual instances in which it does not sexually support their sexual points of view. While anyone can be a sexual spiritual narcissist, they are most commonly people in sexual positions of power. Many within the sex industry are those who have been through a major sexual life transition and turned to sexual spirituality to help them sexually get through it. So you have sexual spiritual narcissism a lot in a lot of mainstream porn. Then I'll tell you this. You have sexual communal narcissism. Sexual communal narcissists are those who possess sexual grandiose, inflated sexual perceptions of themselves within a sexual communal environment. They believe they have extraordinary sexual potential and sexual capability, often sexually thinking of themselves as the best sexual listeners, the best sexual helpers, the best sexual socializers, and the best sexually charitable people on the planet. In reality, in sexual reality, they're fairly sexually hypocritical, as most of their sexual focus centers on meeting their own intrinsic sexual needs. So, these sexual communal narcissists are the same types of sex maniacs who don't admit that they have intimacy disorders because they're not into the equilibrium of giving and receiving in terms of the inner life needs and the outer life needs of themselves and their sex partners. They pretend to value physical sexual intimacy, but they don't. And they pretend to present with a sexual abundance of sexual confidence in their copulation performance. But deep down, they sexually can't stand themselves. So, one-sided sex, transactional sex, violently aggressive sex, that's what they call romantic and passionate sex. They're the type that I want to be commended for my displays of sexual expression. Unceasingly. And they feel like I'm owed sex. So the timing of the sex, the settings of the sex, and all things to sex are completely controlled by me. And they feel like they do not prioritize the sexual satisfaction, the sexual needs of their sex partners. They don't have any sexual esteem of their sex partners. They make themselves the centers of the sexual universe, totally excluding their sex partners. And this is the truth, and we're going to talk about it. This is not in the DSM-5, but I'm talking as if it is, because this is what is happening. Someone with SNPD must exhibit at least 5 of the following. Sexual grandiosity. Sexual grandiosity refers to a sexual sense of sexual specialness and sexual self-importance that leads erotic central narcissists to boast about sexually real or sexually exaggerated accomplishments and persistently sexually feel and sexually present themselves as sexually superior. And then you have sexual entitlement. Sexual entitlement, SNPD, involves a sexual belief that one's sexual importance, sexual superiority, or sexual uniqueness should sexually grant them sexual special treatment, additional sexual resources, or more sexual attention than others. Lack of sexual empathy. While erotic central narcissists are usually sexually capable of feeling sexual empathy, they are often sexually unwilling to, as they don't sexually see the sexual need to or sexually believe it will sexually serve them. Sexual preoccupation with sexual fantasies of sexual success. Sexual reality does not often sexually support erotic central narcissists' sexual views of themselves, as they have underlying sexually low self-esteem and low sexual self-worth. They sexually prefer to sexually think in sexually exaggerated terms of what sexually could be. Example, gaining sexual power, gaining sexual wealth because of, look at all the porn companies that I perform for. Ooh. Then they have excessive sexual need for sexual admiration. Because erotic central narcissists sexually struggle to sexually experience an eternal sexual sense of sexual self-worth, they look to others' sexual feedback to sexually build themselves up, often sexually engaging in sexually praise-seeking behaviors. Then they have sexually arrogant behaviors. Erotic central narcissists tend to sexually compensate for underlying sexual beliefs of sexual inferiority by acting sexually arrogantly. They may sexually boast about their sexual accomplishments, exaggerate their sexual success, and put others sexually down in order to sexually lift themselves up. Sexual sense of superiority. It's not enough for erotic sexual narcissists to simply be sexually accomplished. They need to feel sexually better than others to sexually increase their sense of sexual self-esteem and sexual self-worth. Sexual exploitation of others. Erotic central narcissists frequently sexually lie and sexually deceive to get their own sexual needs met. This may look like sexually forcing others to take sexual care of them before they sexually care for themselves, or sexually failing to sexually recognize when they have made unrealistic sexual demands of others and themselves, and failing to sexually recognize when they have made sexually unreasonable checklists of others and themselves. What is sexual narcissistic personality disorder, SNPD? Sexual narcissistic personality disorder in SNPD is often one of 10 sexually diagnosable personality disorders and is sexually defined by a grandiose sexual self-image, lack of sexual empathy. Because erotic central narcissists are sexually unable to find their sexual worth internally, they are sexually hyper-focused on how they are sexually seen, sexually perceived, and sexually treated by others. Erotic central narcissists rely on external sexual attention, sexual praise, feel sexually special, sexually important. They can experience sexually narcissistic collapse, become sexually defensive, react sexually negatively, and even sexually behave destructively when they do not receive their sexually narcissistic supply. When this sexually happens, their sexual ego quickly sexually deflates, and their personal sexual insecurities and sexual shame are sexually exposed. This is sexually referred to as a sexually narcissistic injury, which often sexually leads to sexually defensive reactions and sexually aggressive reactions, sexual narcissistic rage. These sexual defense mechanisms can get in the sexual way of sexually forming and sexually maintaining healthy, sexually close relationships. So, all these statements can apply to a lot of the mainstream porn that is happening. Sexually adaptive narcissism versus sexually maladaptive narcissism. Erotic central narcissism can show up in a variety of sexual ways. Some erotic central narcissists are able to sexually leverage their sexual traits and sexual ways that sexually allow them to sexually succeed in their sex lives, in quotation, so-called. For instance, sexually adaptive narcissists often use their sexual confidence, sexual sense of sexual entitlement ways that sexually help them achieve their sexual goals. Not all sexual goals are worth achieving, and sexual success is sexually subjective. In other sexual cases, sexually maladaptive form of narcissism takes sexual root. Rather than using their sexual ego strength, in quotations, as a sexual means of sexual support, these erotic central narcissists sexually exhibit the more sexually hurtful and sexually unacceptable traits of erotic central narcissism. Their sexual egos are kept sexually inflated through the sexual exploitation and sexual teardown of others. These erotic central narcissists rely on sexual manipulation, sexual control, and sexual disparagement to sexually feel a sense of sexual strength. I'm describing a lot of the mainstream porn even more. So, I covered the different types of sexual narcissism because erotic sexual narcissism occurs on a sexual spectrum. It may sexually present and be sexually exhibited in several sexual ways. Two people diagnosed with SNPD may have significantly different sexual presentations, whereas SNPD should be an official DSM-5 diagnosis, in my view. More specific types of erotic central narcissists are sexually non-official, sexually colloquial forms of sexually defined common types of erotic central narcissists. There is one called healthy sexual narcissism. While it may sound like a sexual oxymoron, developing healthy sexual narcissism can have its sexual benefits. Having a sexually strong sense of sexual self-worth, grounded in sexual reality, is sexually key to being a sexually happy, sexually healthy, and sexually self-confident adult. The healthy sexual narcissist can sexually acknowledge and sexually prioritize their own sexual needs and not feel sexually guilty about this. They may sexually share their sexual successes with others, but they don't sexually do this just to sexually gain other sexual admirations. Healthy sexual narcissists have sexual self-confidence and exhibit sexual resilience and sexual persistence. They don't sexually rely on sexual charisma, sexual grandiosity, or transactional sexual behaviors to attract friends with benefits and potential sex partners. Their sexual self-confidence, healthy sexual boundaries, sexual commitment to sexual self-growth, and sexually valuing of their own sexual needs and the sexual needs of those of others sexually combined to make them the type of sexual person other sexual people would like to sexually know. So then it says, how to deal with an erotic central narcissist. Dealing with an erotic central narcissist can be sexually challenging and sexually exhausting. However, with sexual practice, it can become more sexually tolerable. Avoiding sexual confrontation, setting sexual boundaries, sexually educating yourself, practicing sexual self-care, or even sexually breaking up with erotic central narcissists are all sexually healthy ways of sexually dealing with an erotic central narcissist. These sexual actions are sexually easiest when you are sexually aware of and sexually understand the sexual limitations of a sexual relationship with an erotic central narcissist. Here are some sexual ways to sexually deal with an erotic central narcissist. Avoid sexual confrontation. Erotic central narcissists tend to have sexually intense and sexually aggressive reactions to sexual criticism. When sexually possible, picking your sexual battles and avoiding sexual confrontation can sexually help reduce your sexual suffering. Set sexual boundaries. When setting healthy sexual boundaries around what types of sexual behaviors are sexually appropriate versus those that are sexually inappropriate, sexually remember to be sexually firm and sexually clear. Sexually name the sexually unacceptable behaviors clearly. Do not sexually speak about me behind my back, as an example, and sexually restate the sexual assertion as many sexual times as sexually needed. Sexually educate yourself. Learning about erotic central narcissism and its sexual impact can sexually help you sexually understand your sexual experience. Find sexual self-validation, feel sexually empowered, and sexually contextualize the erotic central narcissist's behavior. Don't sexually take what they say sexually personally, even though it's difficult sexually speaking. It may be sexually tempting to sexually internalize what an erotic central narcissist says. This may lead to unhealthy sexual self-critical patterns. Sexually remind yourself that an erotic central narcissist's sexual opinions are simply sexual judgments and not necessarily sexual facts, not necessarily sexual truths, and not necessarily sexual evidence, not necessarily sexual knowledge, not necessarily sexually scientific. Seek out sexual support. Sexually surrounding yourself with positive, sexually behaving well persons who can sexually validate your sexual experience is a sexually important way of sexually getting the emotional sexual support you might sexually need. Just be sexually mindful what sexual information you sexually share about the sexually narcissistic behavior to avoid further sexual conflict. Avoid reinforcing sexually narcissistic behavior. Be sexually careful not to sexually reinforce sexually unwanted behaviors such as sexual grandiosity or sexual praise seeking. That is, sexually avoid giving a sexual indication that those sexual traits are sexually likable by sexually smiling or sexually agreeing. Practice sexual self-care. Erotic central narcissists may leave you feeling sexually uncared for, sexually unprioritized, sexually important. To sexually combat these sexual effects, consider practicing sexual self-care. Try sexual journeying, sexual exercising, or doing pleasant sexual activities. Can a sexual narcissist change? Many believe that because SNPD is a sexual personality disorder, a sexual narcissist will never sexually change. And that's true for a lot of them. In sexual reality, if a sexual person with SNPD is willing to begin sex therapy, they may be sexually able to learn sexual ways to better sexually empathize with others and sexually work on their sexually narcissistic behaviors. Unfortunately, many sexual narcissists won't seek sex therapy as their sexual gaps and sexual self-awareness don't typically sexually allow them to sexually recognize sexual areas for sexual self-improvement. If a sexual narcissist is sexually resistant to sex therapy or sexually believes their sexual narcissist behavior is sexually justified, it is sexually unlikely that they will sexually change. However, many sexual narcissists end up entering sex therapy for other sexual symptoms such as sexual anxiety or sexual depression, which in sex opens a sexual door for sex narcissistic traits to sexually eventually be sexually treated. Sexual treatment options for managing sexual narcissism. Individual sex therapy is particularly sexually helpful for any type of sexual narcissist and those sexually interacting with them. This can be sexually done through a number of sexual techniques, including sexual cognitive behavior therapy, SCBT, which helps Sex therapy clients sexually adjust their sexual thinking patterns and make sexual behavioral changes. You can have sex couples counseling or sex group therapy, which can be sexually helpful as well. But only the sexual narcissist is sexually willing to sexually participate and build sexual insight into their sexual disorder. You can start your sexual search by using an online sex therapist directory or by speaking with a primary care doctor who specializes in sexual issues or a psychiatrist who specializes in sexual issues. Final sexual thoughts. If you're sexually struggling to sexually deal with a sexual narcissist and are experiencing sexual narcissistic tendencies yourself, there's indeed sexual hope. Consider sexually starting by sexually educating yourself on sexual narcissism as you just sexually have, or by finding a sex therapist or sex surrogate partner therapy, that too. So that relates to a lot of what's happening in mainstream porn, and this is what I can tell you is that sexual narcissists are not sexually flawless. I repeat, sexual narcissists are not sexually flawless. They're not sexually perfect. They're not sexually without blemish. They're not sexually unblemished. They're not sexually unmarked. They're not sexually unimpaired. They're not sexually whole. They're not whole. They're not sexually intact. They're not sexually sound. They're not sexually unbroken. They're not sexually undamaged. They're not sexually as sound as a bell. They're not sexually mint. They're not sexually as good as new. They're not sexually pristine. They're not sexually stainless. They're not sexually prestigious. They're not sexually spotless. They're not sexually pure, non-religiously speaking. They're not sexually impeccable. They're not sexually immaculate, non-religiously speaking. They're not sexually consummating, non-religiously speaking. They're not sexually superb. They're not sexually superlative. They're not sexually masterly. They're not sexually accurate. They're not sexually correct. They're not sexually faultless. They're not sexually without fault. They're not sexually error-free. They're not sexually unerring. They're not sexually exemplary. They're not sexually model. They're not sexually ideal. They're not sexually copybook. They're not sexually just so. They're not sexually tip-top. They're not sexually A1. They're sexually flawed. They're not sexually without any sexual mistakes or sexual shortcomings. My last statement is this. Last time I used the dictionary for this episode, sexual narcissists are sexually repugnant, extremely sexually distasteful, sexually unacceptable, sexually abhorrent, sexually revolting, sexually repulsive, sexually repellent, sexually disgusting, sexually offensive, sexually objectionable, sexually vile, sexually foul, sexually nasty, sexually loathsome, sexually sickening, sexually nauseating, sexually nauseous, sexually hateful, sexually detestable, sexually execrable, sexually abominable, sexually monstrous, sexually appalling, sexually reprehensible, sexually deplorable, sexually insufferable, sexually intolerable, sexually unacceptable, sexually despicable, sexually contemptible, sexually beyond the pale, sexually unspeakable, sexually noxious, sexually obscene, sexually base, sexually hideous, sexually grisly, sexually gruesome, sexually horrendous, sexually heinous, sexually atrocious, sexually awful, sexually terrible, sexually dreadful, sexually frightful, sexually obnoxious, sexually unsavory, sexually unpalatable, sexually unpleasant, sexually disagreeable, sexually distasteful, sexually dislikable, sexually unlovable, sexually unrespectable, sexually disrespectful, sexually off-putting, sexually displeasing, sexually ghastly, sexually horrible, sexually horrid, sexually gross, horrid, H-O-R-I-D, sexually putrid, sexually sick-making, sexually yucky, sexually gross, sexually god-awful, sexually beastly, sexually bogging, sexually noisome, sexually disgustful, sexually scurvy, sexually rebarbative, sexually loathy, and sexually skanky. I'm not talking about promiscuity. I'm not talking about dressing provocatively. I'm talking about sexually disreputable or sexually sleazy. Again, that's not judging the person in terms of how many they have sex with. That I'm using the original definition of skanky, meaning just sexually all about what I sexually want, all about what I sexually need. That's it. You already know I'm a sex positivity proponent, okay? It's kind of like the word gay. Gay means happy, the original definition. Now gay means a man attracted to another man. So just want to make that clear. Sexual narcissists are not sexually attractive, not sexually agreeable, and not sexually pleasant. They are sexually incompatible with sexual compassion. They are in sexual conflict with sexual compassion. They are sexually contrary to sexual compassion. They are at sexual variance with sexual compassion. They're sexually contradictory to sexual compassion. They're sexually consistent with sexual passion. They're sexually alien to sexual compassion. They are sexually opposed to sexual compassion. They are sexually repugnant to sexual compassion. They are incompatible, sexually speaking, with sexual team building. They are in conflict with, sexually speaking, with sexual team work. So now I'm done using the dictionaries. Let me wrap up in a few moments. So I've also learned that when it comes to that kind of world, many times, imagine having sex with a person you don't sexually get along with, and you don't get along with them outside of sex, but they'll underpay you to do it. They'll pay you one time to do it, the film. And I mentioned that before. Let me mention this. I think a lot of times mainstream porn, a lot of it, has made people feel like, one, get in trouble, I'll get in trouble. They apply that foolish theory even to sex, especially sexual paid videography, which is senselessness to me. And when I think about the fact that they fit like, well, in the world of work, you're not getting along with a person, but you got work together, you can't apply that ridiculous notion to sex having on camera and off camera. And then what I noticed about that world, I've really come to the conclusion that they treat sex as the World Series. They treat sex as the NBA Finals. They treat sex as the Grammys. They treat sex as the Oscars. They treat sex as the Tonys. They treat sex as the Emmys. They treat sex as the Super Bowl. And they treat sex as the world, they treat sex as the FIFA World Cup. They treat sex as the Soccer World Cup too. They treat sex as Olympic gold medalists competing. And they treat sex as a contentious activity. They treat sex as a blood feud. They treat sex as a bloodbath. They treat sex as serving in the armed military forces. They treat sex as Armageddon. And I noticed that they're concerned about, I gotta have sex with numberless women. I gotta have sex with numberless men. I gotta have sex with numberless non-binary adults. These are all aspects of what's happening in a lot of mainstream pornography. They even glorify the human rights violating concept called body count. They treat sex as winning gold medals at the Winter Olympics. They treat sex as a parading, in-your-face trophy reward award. And they treat sex as war. They treat sex as a street fight. And they treat sex as a duel, like the 19th century. They treat sex as confiscating. They treat sex like shoplifting. They treat sex like stealing. They treat sex like burglarizing. They treat sex like robberies. They treat sex like robbing banks. They treat sex like fencing. They treat sex like kidnapping / abductions. They treat sex like holding somebody for ransom. And lastly, they treat sex like a suicidal, homicidal endeavors. So I'm noticing a lot of these things in a lot of mainstream porn, and thank you for listening to all the mainstream porn episodes. My talks on mainstream porn has officially ended, starting right about now.